It's a truth that you know. Amen. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. And as we're coming, my wife and I were discussing, there's some churches where it is so easy for them to go out and preach salvation because that's what their pastor preaches every. That's what they hear consistently. Amen. So what you consistently hear, you eventually become. There was a time when to hear pastors' message, you have to exchange money because to get tips, you had to part with money. But now it is as long as anybody here, everybody here. I'm sure everybody here has internet access. So logging on, and then even if it is whilst you're cooking, instead of having that TV on in the kitchen, I'll have a message that Brother Tola declared. Happy going. Where are you? Glory be to God. That was a powerful message. I listened to it. I was blessed by it. God bless you. Amen. Yes, God just reminded me something I was meant to say as I was talking about focus. I'm a teacher in secondary school. So it was on Thursday. I was teaching. Then at the corner of my eye, 29 children, year 8. Year 8 is 12-year-olds. I noticed corner of my eye, these two girls were talking. So I just stopped. I said, let me know when you're done talking. just let me know when you're done talking. Because if both of us are talking, we're not hearing each other. I don't want to know what you have to say. I won't learn you, but you need to hear. If you're not hearing me, then you're not learning. You're waiting time. Let me know when you're done. So, we're done, sir. Okay. And then I now decided to say what I said. Now I said, distraction. Distraction is what happens when you're not focused. One boy went, sir, does that mean you were not focused? Because if you were focused on the rest of us, you would not be distracted by those two girls. I went to the board. And I wrote his name. Normally in schools, when a child's name goes on the board, they think it's for bad. But I don't celebrate misbehaving children, so I just put his name there. I said, oh, that means he's going to get married. I said, yes, he has merit because God has used him to teach. And it's absolutely true. Look at 29 kids, 2 were talking. That means, I'm a maths teacher, 27 were listening. And because of those 2, Mr. O stopped and... Amen. Distraction is what happens when you are no longer focused. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to start from verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. If you are still opening, say, wait, Pastor. Or if you are still looking for Romans 5, say, wait, Pastor. Okay, nobody's saying what. I want to believe we are all there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 reads, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I want to pick up a few words from this. The first one is much more. I want to encourage you this morning. What God has accomplished, you have to be very clear. What God has accomplished through Christ for you is much more than what the devil accomplished through Adam. Now let that settle in your spirit. What God has accomplished through Jesus Christ is much more. It makes what the devil did through Adam pale in complexion. It is much more than what the devil achieved through Adam's choice to take that bite. Much more. Now, it says here, those who receive. Now, can you receive passively? I come here and say, here are the keys to a house. And I'm giving it to you. Can you receive it passively? Say, okay, I received the house Mr. O has given. No. You stand up and you call. You act. It has to be active. Okay? So when it says those who receive abundance of grace, you are actively receiving abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. The Bible says those who have actively received it, they what? They will reign. They will reign. Have you ever heard of Okay, let's go there. It's kings that reign. Kings reign. So what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ ought to make you a king. And by actively receiving abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, you ought to reign in life. You ought to reign. And if you are not reigning, go and check. If you're receiving of what Jesus did to you is just passive, you know, I'm born again. Passive. Much more. It has to be active. Amen. And I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and because of that, we'll try and stretch this as much as possible. But you have to understand, when the moment you said Jesus, or you can even backtrack, the moment the power of God took him out of the grave, sin no longer existed. God, because that sacrifice was to deal a final blow to sin. Jesus was raised from the dead, so you are justified. You are justified. Your past, your present, your future sin, Jesus took it to hell. He took the full blow for it. So now you are the righteousness of God. However, the extent to which you will experience, the extent to which you'll experience it is determined by how much you renew your mind. Because your spirit is all glory be to God. Only if God will open your eyes to see exactly what happened in you, the day you said, Jesus, come into my life. In Corinthians, they tried to give us a picture. So he who is in Christ is a new creature. A new creature. All things passed away. Amen. God recreated you. Think about the word. Born again. Once you are dead, but now made alive. But that happened in your spirit. But to experience the reality of what took place in you, you need now to spend time renewing your mind. Because the expression of everything God has done in you is determined. How it comes out, it flows out of you, determines on how now your mind is renewed. And God is not going to renew your mind for you. He gave you new spirit. Now I want him to renew your mind for you. My daughter tell him, take me devil. I'm born again. No, it is now your duty to renew your mind. So, you know, when I got born again, they say I had to read your Bible every morning before I go to sleep. If they had told me, by doing so, you are renewing your mind so that eventually you can become God's good, acceptable, and perfect proof of his goodness. That's enough motivation. Because what you are doing when we say renew your mind is you are changing your thoughts. You are replacing it with his thoughts. That's what we only maybe we should blame us pastors because we didn't break it down. Renew your mind simply means replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. You want to know where to find God's thoughts? Your Bible. Amen. Even if all you do is go mini manual, okay. Numbers chapter 14, verse 3. That's okay. From now, the whole of this week, that's all I'm going to meditate on. There's enough Zoe in Romans 14, 3 to renew your mind. Amen. That's what you're doing. You are replacing your thoughts with God's thoughts. Amen. You are already... Did Jesus carry your sin? Did he take your sin? Amen. So the same way he took your sin, you have taken God's righteousness. Very unbalanced exchange, but we're not the ones in charge. God decided it that way. Amen. You are already the righteousness of God. You are. If you are doubting it, it's because you haven't renewed your mind. If you want your mind renewed, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where it is, and Read it. Read it again. Read it. Meditate on it. Read. See yourself. See yourself in that world. And that introduced the word meditate. Meditate is not just read once. Okay, yes, I've read the Bible today. No. It means read it. read it until you hear what God is trying to say inside here. So you read it. Because I'm sure you've had that experience. We call it, we say, when we're testifying, we say, oh, that verse jumped out. Yeah, read it until that verse jumps out and becomes alive in you. Groban says she meditates on God's word until the hair on the back of her head stands up. Now you're walking. You're renewed. You're changing your thought patterns. You're taking his thoughts and you're making it your thoughts. Let me show you what God does when you do that. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Just to encourage you about renewing your mind, about replacing your thoughts with his thoughts. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And most times when ministers or preachers have preached this, they focus on verse 9. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But read verse 8 again. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Does it say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts"? Does it say, Mr. O, calm down. It reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Now, does it now say, "Nor are my ways your ways"? Does it say that? No. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." And one day God opened my eyes. When you make my thoughts, your ways become my way. That was a massive revelation. As you are replacing your thoughts with what God has said, it affects your ways. It now becomes, it transforms it to yours. So you are taking steps. But the footsteps behind is the footsteps of God. because what the power, or what God's thought has done over your thoughts, what it has done is it has translated your ways to become his ways. So you can't escape from it. You cannot. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. It's revelation. And those who are privy to revelation are those who have made, they've made a lifestyle of making God's thoughts their thoughts, to the point that they hear him speak. Amen. Hallelujah. It has to be done. it has to be done. Amen. And then Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks, so is he." So if we say, as you think God's word, as you think God's thoughts, you can do the equation. As you think God's thoughts, yeah. So if it says, "As a man thinks, so is he." So if what you're thinking is what God has said, if you're thinking is the thoughts of God, amen, I'll let you do the equation. I'll let you do what comes out of that. But meditating on God's word, you cannot escape from meditating on God's word. You cannot. Because as Jesus said, your spirit is willing. Your spirit is willing, but it still has to go through your mind. If your mind is not giving your spirit permission for expression, amen, because it has not yet been renewed. But, amen. That would not be our portion in Jesus' name. But for that expression to be free flow from your spirit, your mind needs to be renewed. You need to make a habit of meditating on God's word. And someone tells you how often we need to do it. "My delight is in his word, and in his word I meditate day and night." As far as God is concerned, he only has day and night. So that means always. Always, always, Yes. You're working on a word, write it on post-it. Those of us that as we sit in front of computer are working there. There's no law against you putting post-it notes around the screen of your computer. Those are the word of God you are working on. So that once in a while, your eye will fall on it. And don't just look at it, oh, okay. No, read it. Read it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 gives us the, he says, my son, attend to my word. You are not, by finding that scripture you're working on and writing down and putting on post-it, you are attending to God's word. He says, incline your ears to it. Say it so that you can hear it. Yeah? Incline means your purpose, you've made a purpose decision to hear. So you say it. Do not let it depart. So by putting it around on your, because we all go to the fridge every day, isn't it? We all go to our fridges every day. Put it on the fridge. By doing that, you are not letting it depart from your eyes. Put it around that TV. Because I think that's the one electrical appliance in the household that goes on every single day. Amen. Put it where you can see. Those of us who shave, put it on the mirror. And when your eyes goes on it, read it. Amen. Because they are life to those who find them. If by attending, by inclining, by making it not depart from your eyes, by doing that, eventually you will find it. They are life to those who find them. Amen. Now, in closing, let us wrap this up. Let us turn to Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. I want to give you an example of somebody of what you need to start doing. He did it. He did it, and he's been blessed through it. I'm sure by the time I read, okay, it's Abraham. But let us turn to Romans chapter 4. That Romans chapter 4 is quite difficult. It's quite challenging. I'm not going to say it's impossible. It's difficult to just pick out a verse. But for the purpose of today's meeting, I just want to pick out verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 says, he, that's Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. He was strengthened in faith. Now, what did it was faith. What will do it is your faith. Strengthened in what did it? Giving glory to God. Ha! Now, we need to break down what that means. Giving glory to God. Did Abraham go, Father, I give you glory. I give you all the things. Because the key to verse 20 is understanding what it means when the word of God says, Abraham gave glory to God. And God showed me. He said, after he visited him, he asked him to do three things. He said, when I leave, every male circumcised from yourself down to servants, everybody in your household, circumcise them. He said, from now on, second thing, Sarah with an I is now Sarah with an H. That's what you call her. And third one, you're no longer Abraham. You are now Abraham, father of many nations. Even though it was hard for Abraham to conceive it. Remember, all the time the angel come, even him and Sarah, they were laughing. Ah. We're not old now, but by doing those three things, he gave glory to God. Nobody was there with him when God gave him those three instructions, but from himself down, circumcised all of them. He gave glory to God. And then from that day on, whenever he met anybody, he says, good morning, I am Abraham. They couldn't laugh because in his own town, it was just one town. They couldn't laugh at, you father of multitude. But he kept saying it. I am the father of many nations. And when people call him saying, Abraham, and he says, yes, he's responding. He's giving glory to God. Because we all know, eventually, Isaac came. A man that was proclaimed medically dead. I heard a man of God say, Sarah was no longer in menopause. She was in womenopause or menopause. No, yes, that's what the man said. She was no longer in menopause. She was in menostop. But that body brought forth Isaac. Because Abraham gave glory to God. He called He called a mother that could not, mother that womb was dead, still called her mother of many nations. Mother of many nations. You renew your mind by saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can't feel it, but you are declaring his word. You are renewing your mind. You are renewing your mind. And let me show you something. Brother Tola, can you please? I'm running up now. I want to show you, because one day I was thinking about it, the effects of Abraham saying, I am the father of many nations. Man that was medically, physically could not. Hang on. But yes. Genesis chapter 25. He kept calling himself Abraham. He kept giving glory to God. He kept calling himself Abraham. People kept calling him Abraham. Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to encourage you. Find something from God's word you're going to start saying from today. And you'll never stop until either Jesus comes or you leave us and go to glory. Amen. That's the meaning of giving glory to God. You find one and you stick to it. You keep saying it and saying it. Jesus said you will have whatsoever you say. You will have what you say. You will have what you say. So what God is calling you to become is a professor of words. A professor of words. The honor you attach to words is very vital. Very vital. Very vital. He created all we see with words. And he created you in his image. That means the same way he created by speaking, you too, you create by speaking. But the devil has come in and he's made it seem as if it's possible for sweet and bitter to come from the same source. How can you say, oh, under anointing, you can say I'm blessed. But then you go outside, you look at your bank and say I'm broke. That needs to stop. It's just, we think, oh, I'm just declaring things as it is. You are made in that image of God. You have just licensed the devil to make that your reality. Yes, it might be true what the bank statement is saying, but you have no right under God to say, I am broke. You have no right. You have the righteousness of God. He has made you right already. You cannot live here and say, my feet are killing me. Eh? Your feet are killing you. What do you mean? What do you mean? Pointing
case. There's a song, my. I have to bring it up. One of the lines is, depression was over me. My wife says, whenever the choir is singing, she just does not sing. That's the truth.
How can you? You see, God not only wants you to have faith in his word, he wants you to develop faith in your own word. So that when you say, depression is over me, we can say, should we agree and believe that you receive what you've just said? That's where God wants us to get to. So we can't, because you create with what you say. Genesis 25. Hallelujah. Abraham calling, giving glory to God and calling himself what God called him. Verse 1. Abraham again took a wife. And her name was Keturah. And she bore for him Zimran 1, Jokshan 2, Medan 3, Midian 4, Ishbak 5, Shua 6. Ha. Calling himself Abraham continued to have effect on his body. Even after Sarah had gone, he was still able to have a wife and still have children. What you say matters. What you say matters. And that also means, I hear everything God says three. So I'm talking to myself. I said, that means you can't say, oh, you're on the phone. Oh yes, I'll call you later. I'll call you later. But then that later never happens. You can't do that. If you're going to be serious with God and his word, you can't say what you don't mean. Because the angels that are meant to bring about what you say, does he want his feet to kill him? Because he says it a lot. A book I'm reading. The woman said, whenever she has an encounter and people hurt her, she says, oh, she's burning up. She just keeps saying it. Then she had this fever that the doctors did not have. They didn't know where the fever was coming from. But then somehow, because the doctor was also part of the church, he realized, oh, you like saying this a lot. Can you from now stop saying it? Yes, they hurt you, they disappoint you. Stop saying it was burning up. 3 days. 3 days. That's why it took, that fever left. Your words matter. Especially the one you find it easy to say. And just say it. Just say it. Just say it. Instead of you looking for what God has said, agreeing with it, and then making that your confession. But before we make this look spiritual, before you go to that one, watch what you say. Are you coming later? Yeah, I'll come. And deep down, you know you're not going to come. Tell them, no, I'm not coming. If they're waiting for a reason, I'm not coming. Because I know 2 hours from now, I'm at home. I'm not going to be there. I'm not coming. They want to have a reason. They want you to. Are they your God? Huh? Are they your God? And then you start saying things that you know you're not going to do. And then all of a sudden, you want to jump on God's word. No, it can't happen until you're held accountable for everything you say. You're not yet ready to hold God accountable for what he has said. Because the medium through which you get what he has said to happen from you is through your own words. And if you yourself cannot believe, you cannot be accountable to what you say. So how then can you now hold God accountable? But glory be to God. Glory be to God. Abraham gave glory to God. He called himself Abraham. He called himself Abraham. He called himself Abraham. He called himself Abraham. And eventually he became Abraham. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of what I have done. No. It's because of what he has done. It's because of what he has done. And I'm going to end with Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. There's a song in my language that says, okay, I'll say it in Yoruba first. It said, oh, untotiro pe ko sese were lo ba mi se. Hebrews 13 verse 5 would make that clear. Now this is something you can, I release you to keep saying. Romans chapter 13 and verse 5. Oh, it means, oh, what they thought could not be done very easily, God did it for me. Amen. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself, wherever you say he himself, you need to take note. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God said, God told me when I was reading this, he said, tell them I am like your shadow. Did you know your shadow is always with you? You want to see your shadow? Turn the light on. You want to see your shadow? Turn the light on. You want to see God? Focus on his word. Let his light. He says, entrance of his word gives light. Attend to his word. You will discover, yes, he's there. God is always with you. People preach about Joseph, but nobody has preached to satisfy me.
And they said Joseph had to go to the pit. He had to go to this, he had to go to that. Joseph is who Joseph is because God was with him. And Joseph knew. He had to know that, hey, the man has made me master of everything, including you. But hey, no, I'm not touching you. He left his clothes and ran. That is someone that knew. He had to also know that God was with him. God is with you. Psalm 23. I love that psalm. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It says, because when he started Psalm 23, he was talking as describing God. No, there it changed. It says, for you became personal. You need to know that God is with you, because that makes the difference. It made Gideon, mighty man of valor, says, for the Lord is with you. You need to know. You may not feel him. You may not feel it. That devil is an idiot and he's very crafty. We know what you did yesterday now. Yeah, he's not with you. In spite of that. You see, oh, glory be to God. Will God ever leave you? Will he ever? Even if you've turned your back to him, he's still there. Because he said it there. I will never leave you. Go to work tomorrow with that revelation. He is with me. He is with me. I need to make it more often. But some days I start that lesson in class, in school, knowing that the greatest teacher is in me. And those children are privileged to be sat in front of me because the greatest teacher is not, it's not the fact that I know the master. I'm trying, no. I need to make it more often. Just every lesson, I just remind myself, he's here, he's with me. Calm down. So this will be fine. Amen. God is with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. But you need to start saying it the same way Abraham said, I am Abraham, until he became Abraham. He is with me. He is with me. You are with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not because of what you may have done, but because of who he is. He has invested too much to just turn away because he did something small. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let us give God praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That simply means he's always with you. So that's what you need to make your confession. Father, I thank you. You are always with me. Don't wait to feel. If you ever want to feel his presence, you need to say it so much. You say it so much. You say it over and over and over and over again. Until that word renews your thinking pattern. That he's with me, not because of what I've done, but because of, he said it. And he cannot lie. Glory be to God. He has made us his righteousness. He has made us his righteousness. And he wants to be an expression of love and everything possible to the world, to your world around you. And that would only happen when your mind has been renewed with God's word concerning the fact that you are his righteousness. It will only come to pass as you continually replace your thoughts with his thoughts. You make the replacement of your own thoughts with his own thoughts. Replace it. Meditate on 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 it. Because eventually, what you set as your focus on January the 1st, because of his presence with you and in you, it will come to pass. It will happen. It will happen. It will.
I have never read in the Bible anyone God was with that did not eventually end up where God intended that person to be. You will not be the first. You cannot be the first. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you. We have your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So Father, we thank you. We say, we give you praise. You are with us. We thank you. 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 Not that we merit it, not that we work for it, but because of you. We thank you, Lord, you are with us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We make a decision today. We make a decision today to attend to your word. To attend to your word. To attend to your word. To make your word all that matters. To focus on your word. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you. It's only then we will realize that we've been renewed for righteousness. Created for righteousness. Created into righteousness. And renewed for righteousness. To you be the praise and to you be the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to round up this service now. I got to make a confession. According to that Hebrews, he said, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You may be in an uncertainty, you know, but still boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Hallelujah. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen together. You don't know how the, what we, but still boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Can we do that together? Say, he has said. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, I boldly say, I continue to boldly say, irrespective of the facts, that the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. Amen. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. While we look not at the things which are seen, facts, but the things which are not seen, the word, the truth, revelation. For the things which are seen, they are temporary. They will come to pass away. But the things which are not seen, the word, the truth, the revelation, they are eternal. And they produce miracles. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. Yes, Lord. When our backs were against the wall, and it seemed as if it was over, but you made a way. One more time, let's just sing that. When our backs were against the wall, when our backs were against the wall, and it seemed as if it was over, not you. Now we're standing,
now we're standing, only because you.